Tuesday. I want to give you right to you when we can. We got a big announcement coming up. We are going to have Travis Kelce Day.
Yes.
On 8-7. Because, 8-7. Year 13. Could this be the last year? We'll have former coaches of Travis Kelce join us. We'll have players join us. We're hoping to get Travis to join us. And just basically make the day all about Travis Kelce on August 7th, a.k.a. 8-7. So I'm very excited about that. Promos you'll start to hear. Any ideas are welcome. What you want to see, what you want to hear, how you want to celebrate this day. We've done the St. Patrick's Day before about Mahomes.
Right.
This is a day that this show is going to do where we're going to honor number 87, in which we think this is the last dance. So why not have a good big 87 day for Mr. Travis Kelce?
Yeah, and it's something I think everybody in the city wants to celebrate, right? I think if you're going into this season not expecting this to be Travis Kelce's last year in Kansas City, I think you're approaching the season wrong. Hey, he may surprise us and stay for a little bit longer, but the writing's on the wall. I mean, it's there, right? It's year 13, which is obviously Taylor's favorite number, and so that's kind of cool. You get that one last opportunity to kind of go for it in the last year of your contract with Patrick Mahomes. I think the writing is definitely on the wall for this to be Travis Kelce's last season. So we're going to celebrate him before the season even gets started, because he goes down as the greatest tight end and arguably the greatest, maybe second greatest offensive weapon behind Mahomes in Chiefs history.
Or maybe one of the greatest performances in Chiefs history.
Damian Williams, halfback left side. Kelce trots in motion across the face of Mahomes, who sprints out to the left side. He's holding it. He's going to try to hold it. Throws it late. And is it caught in the... It's caught! Touchdown! Kansas City! The Chiefs take the lead! And Kelce with another catch on a sprint out run pass option again! And Kelce gargling in the sweet nectar of the end zone!
I love it.
Heck yeah. Come on.
Gargling in the sweet nectar of the end zone.
Yeah, we'll hear a lot from that guy on Kelce Day for sure.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of highlights from Travis Kelce. You start to think about like your favorite play of Travis Kelce's career. Who the hell can pick just one of Travis Kelce's career? I mean, the overtime run against the Chargers in the regular season is special.
Oh, that one
you
is
know?
Great.
That one's cool. I still love the Texans one where he's surrounded by 10 people in the end zone and Mahomes dumps it right in there. I mean, there's just been so many plays right, you know, over the last 13 years where you look at Travis Kelce and you're just like,
I want to do his like top non plays, like rolling the dice against Denver, throwing the towel at the ref as a flag, guy couldn't even be at Foot Locker,
right?
Like all those were like, because it's weird to bring this up, but that's where he was and look where he is.
I know, it's crazy, right?
So, trying to settle in some guests for the rest of that great day, which is also my 38th birthday, but nobody cares.
No, it's Travis Kelce Day. It's all about, you shouldn't have been born on Travis Kelce Day.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, the first one ever.
How old are you going to be? 38, right?
38.
And how many years has he been in this league?
13.
How old were you when Travis Kelce entered the NFL?
25.
There you go. And look at you now.
That's
like
crazy.
Like 25 to 38. Like, but that's a lifetime. That's no longer in your 20s. Now you're middle-aged. I mean, that's how long Travis Kelce's career has been around. And you went from 25 to 38 not knowing the Kansas City Chiefs without Patrick Mahomes, right? You went, how old are you?
26.
How long is Travis Kelce?
13,
old were you when Travis Kelce came into the NFL? 13 years old.
Yeah.
And now here you are. And how
did you have hair down there when you got into the league?
Yeah. And then I look at me, I'm 48 minus 13. I was 35 when Travis Kelce came into the league. So it's all different kind of eras of how we experience Travis Kelce. See what I'm doing there? My era of Travis Kelce is kind of the older man era, the adult. I'm grown up. I've got the kids. I probably appreciated it a lot more because I'm older. You were in middle school.
When what?
Right?
When what?
When Travis Kelce came into the league.
Yeah. Middle school.
What middle school? You were at Leawood, not at Leawood Elementary.
Or was it Leawood Middle?
Leawood Middle School. when Travis Kelce came into this league.
Go Panthers.
Did they have Lexuses that picked you up to go to school there?
They did. Butlers.
They had Benz.
Yeah, the butler came and took him to school.
Your Mercedes is late, Mac.
Did you live next to Dana?
Her and Walter Pennington.
You know the best, Mac. You can get.
Your mom was definitely drinking the Chardonnay out of a tumbler, driving you in a silver minivan to Leawood Middle School. But think about your life. 13 years old, you were going to Leawood Middle School. And in Travis Kelce's career, you moved to Nashville. You went to college. You went to Wyoming or where the hell you were. You went back to Tennessee. You came back. Like, a lot has happened in your life in 13 years. My 13 years, nothing has really changed. You went from 25 to 38. I'm sure a lot's changed for you in those period of time. So your Travis Kelce era is more of your kind of your growing up and, you know, you're developing who you are era. Yours was the baby era for you. It's crazy how Travis Kelce probably has a different impression too for all of us from the different eras, because when he first came up, he was a loose cannon, man. Like, Andy Reid was just about done with Travis Kelce. He said it. He goes, I'm done with this guy, right? And if he does one more thing, we're moving on. Travis Kelce straightened up and became a great citizen. Same thing happened in college with him. You know, a little behind the scenes, we talked to Butch Jones, his college coach, a little bit yesterday. We were starting to stockpile interviews. And he said this kind of stuff, too. Like, Jason Kelce is probably the guy we should be celebrating in all this, because without Jason Kelce, I'm not sure we're talking about Travis Kelce.
Well, just like how emotional Travis was during Jason's retirement. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, he was crying more than Jason. He's like, get it together, man. Yeah. Like, you're on camera.
I mean, that's a brotherly love, no pun intended, from that. That's so cool.
Watch how much Jason cries when Travis announces it. Watch how much Travis cries when he announces it.
How much I cry.
Seriously.
Watch how much Andy cries. I mean, seriously.
Yes. You better get a whole box of tissues for that Fesco household.
In all seriousness, though, is this going to be the biggest sports retirement that we've seen in our lifetimes?
Nah,
the most impactful one.
George.
He wasn't around then, though.
Yeah, but I mean, I was.
Yeah.
I mean, and I remember, like, Cooperstown. I remember that speech. Like, I can still remember that because I remember that Hall of Fame class. My dad's like, this may be one of the best Hall of Fame classes you ever see.
It probably was
into the
best
Hall of Fame. Yeah. And George's retirement, I remember, because it was also kind of sidebarred with Nolan's, because, like, Nolan did the last, you know, the last Swan Song. George gets his hit, kisses home plate, all that sort of stuff, and then goes to Cooperstown, has that speech. So, yeah, I mean, this will be one of them. This is definitely going to be one of them.
Yeah, I think for the newer generation, though, yeah, you're right. But, like, for our generation, I think you're right. George was that one, right?
Yeah, for sure.
For his generation, again, different eras, your generation, this will be the biggest sports retirement that you've ever seen. Guys come and go all the time, but not people that have had the impact like him. And you're right, Salvi will be the next one after that. We'll all cry at that. And then Mahomes will be the one after that, or Andy, and Mahomes will, you know, depending on what happens when he retires and where he is in his career, most likely will trump everything that we've seen.
Yeah. Good thing, Jason. Go ahead, you're going to say something?
No, I was just saying, I'm glad that we're doing this, because it's important to, like you're saying, all those moments, all those memories, it's important, like you always say, Bob, to not take it for granted. So I'm glad that we're doing this. And go on the Odyssey app, go on our chapters, send in voice messages of your favorite Travis Kelce memories. I'll compile them all together. We'll get a big kind of hodgepodge of your guys' memories, too. Be a part of this day. It'll be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea of going to the Odyssey app and using it to, you know, some people leave messages, I guess, on there.
Yes, be a part of the show.
Yeah, be a part of the show. Leave messages about your Kelce moments, and we'll work them into the show as well. And, you know, it's going to be great. And I think for a lot of us, it's going to be that wake-up call that, shoot, man, like, this era is over, and we're on to the next era of Chiefs football without Travis Kelce.
Good thing he has Jason, because we get conversations like this.
I'll go fries.
I mean, you can't beat French fries.
I agree. My least favorite is a baked potato. I think a baked potato is potentially the most overrated item I've ever had.
If it's done right, I can do it. But I hear you. You got to put in too much work. I don't want to put in that much work.
Yeah.
I don't love when they chop them up in, like, the circles and they throw them in, like, a cheesy dish.
Oh, the potatoes au gratin?
Yeah, I'm not in love with that kind of potato either.
I'll do a potatoes au gratin, but it's definitely hit or miss with whoever's making the au gratin or how old it is. A lot of times when you have it, it's just been sitting out for too long, and it's just, like, the cheese has gotten, like, into a weird texture.
Yeah. And sometimes the potato isn't, like, cooked and, like, soft. Sometimes it's, like, a hard, like, you're biting into the regular potato.
Yeah, that's accurate. I think sometimes it's just not a fun potato to eat.
So 1587 will not have potatoes au gratin on the
menu.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. I love au gratin potatoes.
Me too. But he's right about that. Every once in a while, you get a hard piece of potato.
So true.
And you're like, what is this undercooked potato?
They are going to, they were talking on New Heights about how their favorite version of the potato was.
Mm-hmm.
And someone from the 913 to Kelsey say he was retiring. No, but we would think that this is it, as everything hints towards it. But they were talking about what their favorite potatoes were. So I ranked mine, and I don't know if you agree or disagree with these, but I went with number one being the twice-baked potato.
If somebody's doing it for you, I'm in on the twice-baked potato, sure. But like having to do it by yourself, that's a lot. As they both said, the potato is a lot of work when you think about it.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, like, again, I'm just going in general. Like if I go to Hy-Vee, I'm always going to get a twice-baked potato if I do steaks, almost every time.
That they've made for you there. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Number two is the hash brown, whether it's Waffle House, whether it's a local diner, neighborhood cafe, whether it's the McDonald's hash brown. That's my number two favorite version of the potato.
The McDonald's hash brown is superior. Yeah, really. There's nothing that even competes with that thing.
I saw somebody the other day said they made a new breakfast sandwich at McDonald's. They got a sausage McMuffin, took the McMuffin bun off, put the sausage and cheese between two hash browns.
I saw that too. I was like, that looks fantastic. Yeah.
And then my third one is just the grilled potatoes, the chopped up potatoes in the foil bag with all the seasonings, the butter, the olive oil, put it on the flame, let them get crispy on the bottom of that. Oh god, those are my three.
I go with like roasted red potatoes in the oven. You cut like roasted red potatoes into like quarters, throw some olive oil, salt and pepper, maybe a little rosemary on
the
top.
Healthier way than the grilled potatoes,
kind of, but you roast them and you get them really crispy. Like the potatoes got to be crispy. That's why for me the shredded hash browns, you know, terrible. They're never crispy and people want to, you know, foist them on you all the time. I don't want shredded potatoes. They
gotta
suck.
Go to Waffle House.
You got to get them crispy. You got to get them crispier, and then you got to get them crispier than that. And so I'll go with the roasted red potatoes. I do love a good mashed potato with garlic, you know, garlic mashed potato. Also red potatoes or maybe those Yukon Golds. And then I'll finish it off with the French fry. I mean, come on now. Like, let's not overthink here. The French fry is what it is. It's named after France.
Any specific version of the fry?
Well, I think we go with the crinkle cut is always my favorite one. I
over
enjoy
the waffle?
The crinkle. Yeah, over the waffle.
Curly?
The waffle is good if you're making like Irish nachos and you're using the fry, you know, and you use the waffle fry for that, given Maloney all these ideas, he never takes them. But the waffle fry, kind of loaded waffle fries would be good. But I just like that. I like the crinkly cut, man.
I think I'll do mashed potatoes, fries, and loaded baked potato. Pretty simple. But mashed potatoes specifically, Hannah's with sour cream.
You got to have sour cream with mashed potatoes.
Yes. So
you mix it in. You don't put it on top. You mix it in. Absolutely.
The next potato I'm going to make is what they're called smash potatoes. So you let them get soft, and then you smash them down over like cheese and garlic and butter, and then you put them in there, and then like the end of it's like super crispy.
Oh, okay.
You have to look up a recipe. They look amazing.
You got to get little potatoes.
Yeah, like the Yukon Gold, just cut them in half. Those are the best.
Fingerlings are good too, man.
Mm,
toss them in some olive oil and whatnot. They're really good.